You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at large for SportingNews.com. So if you come over to the site now, we'll get you prepped starting for Week 11. Just looking at the power rankings and picks, we have the waiver wire guys you should target, and that's what we break down here on Pickup Tuesday on Locked On Fantasy Football. It's to help you with the guys you should pick up to help your team improve here going into Week 11. It's a critical time, playoff push for a lot of you fantasy owners. So very exciting to see what help is out there. Before we do that and dive into Week 11, let's put a bow on Week 10. The final game was Monday Night Football, Panthers all over the Dolphins, 45-21. If you had any share of the Panthers in DFS or otherwise, you were very happy. Cam Newton, 254 yards, 4 TDs, total domination. He also had 95 yards rushing, so monster game from Newton that his owners have been waiting for a long time against a bad Dolphins defense. Jonathan Stewart, 17 carries, 110 yards. One of his best games in a long time, definitely his best this season without his touchdown. Christian McCaffrey, the usage still wasn't a lot. It was 8 touches for 50 yards, but he got in the end zone twice, so you'll take that. Devin Funchess, 5 for 92 on 6 targets with a pair of touchdowns. Ed Dixon got in the fun with a touchdown. And Cameron Artis Payne, even 7 carries, 68 yards on TD. No one started him, but you get the picture. It was all Panthers in this one, 45-21, and this offense just looked very good the second game without Kelvin Benjamin. It's a bye week, so unfortunately you won't have those guys in there now. I think Ed Dixon will go back to not being much with Greg Olsen scheduled to return after the bye, but Devin Funchess is becoming an every week wide receiver 2-3. McCaffrey's an every week running back 1/2 with how much he's being used and scoring. And then Jonathan Stewart is back in the mix as a deep league RB2 or flex play with that. But Olsen, is keep in mind, is returning, so that may change things a little bit, but not too much. I think, if anything, he'll pick up where Dixon's production was lacking and maybe less of Russell Shepard and Curtis Samuel here going forward. On the Dolphins side, still they scored 21 points. Kenny and Drake was the story here. Had a 66-yard TD run, 7 carries only, but 82 yards and that long score, 2 receptions for 10 yards. So in a game like this, we thought it would be more Damian Williams, but Drake still got a lot of touches and garbage time and in the passing game. So Drake is still the back of choice here overall. Damian Williams is very touchdown dependent at the moment, and Drake got that long score in this one. So that's where you go. Julius Thomas, everyone flocked to him. He got targeted a lot, including an interception, but 2 catches, 8 yards, and a touchdown. Other than the touchdowns, you're still not going to get too much from Thomas. Jarvis Landry, consistent as ever, especially PPR. Very inefficient, 5 catches on 10 targets, but that was a lot of Cutler being off. 5 for 42 and a touchdown, though. Devontae Parker, good PPR day, 6 for 66, as well as Kenny Stills, 567. But definitely a lot was left on the table. The garbage time didn't come through as the way you expected, except for Landry and Drake there. But Drake, the takeaway here is that with the Bucs coming up, he should be a big featured part of this offense, and you really like Parker and Landry in that game. Now, as a reminder, on Thursdays here on Locked On Fantasy Football, it's Lineup Thursday. We'll be joined by a regular guest, Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus. Remember to go to iTunes, leave your Twitter handle with a review with a chance to win a PFF Ed subscription. They're worth $39.99. We're giving up one of those per show, per week, so make sure you do that and take advantage of that. And we'd love to have the partnership with PFF on Locked On Fantasy Football. Now, let's go into our waiver wire pickups, and we'll start with the running backs, which is the position of choice here. It is a lot like it was last week for guys maybe that were deeper down that are moved up the charts. Danny Woodhead, they're not 100% sure he's going to return from that hamstring injury. The Ravens are in Green Bay, but It's looking good so far. The expectation was that, given that he practiced the previous 2 weeks. They're just playing with cautiousness, but they need to win this game. They're in the playoff hunt. They're 4-5. They need all the weapons they can have against this bad Green Bay defense. So I'd expect Woodhead to be available this week for you right away. If you stashed him on IR, good for you. But if you don't have him and somebody else dropped him, this is a good time to pick him, because I think you'll go back to having a big role over Buck Allen in this backfield, and Alex Collins has cooled off as well. So Woodhead, we know a couple years ago when he was with the then San Diego Chargers, he was a key asset even in non-PPR because he got used a lot in goal line situations. He was a real red zone threat there, and I think the Ravens need a player like that, especially with their tight ends hurting, and he's an extension of what they can do in the pass game, kind of as their best slot type option here as well. So Woodhead is a versatile guy. PPR leagues a must, but in standard leagues he can have value. I proceed a little bit of caution with Rex Burkhead. He did have a touchdown, touched the ball a lot. There's no Mike Gillisley. He was inactive for the Denver game, but the Patriots still committed more to Deion Lewis as the early down back, so to speak, there. So it was a split of Lewis and Burkhead. Burkhead also had to share some time with James White there in the passing attack, but I think that was all by design based on the matchup. You want to use your backs and tight ends against Denver, and that was the matchup that dictated it. Against the Raiders, it's going to go back to the wide receivers. Brandon Cooks, maybe Chris Hogan returns this week. Maybe they'll throw in a little bit of Philip Dorsett in there as well as a option, but I would expect a lot more Gronk and a lot more Cooks this week in the particular matchup, as well as Danny Amendola, because the Raiders are beat up in the spot. So beware, it's a game-to-game proposition with this backfield. You really can't trust one thing you see in 1 week and apply it to another week. But Burkhead, just with the usage alone in a high-powered offense, he has to be looked. And it's, again, it's not too great of a well this week for running backs unless you're looking for some desperate injury help. One of those players is Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones looks like he's going to miss multiple weeks. So it was fun while it lasted for the one rookie in Green Bay. Now it opens it up for Jamal Williams, who did have the garbage touchdown a couple weeks against the Lions and really took over the backfield and played well. Baltimore run defense is pretty hard, especially in the middle now with Brandon Williams returning there. So immediately Jamal Williams may not have a lot of push. I think you could still see a lot of Ty Montgomery. But for now, if you're a Jones owner and you're desperate, you have to pivot to the other running back that was going to be the thing until he got hurt. Remember there when Montgomery initially went down, Williams also got hurt. That opened the door for Jones. So now Jones opens the door up again for Williams in Green Bay, and that's worth the stash with the upside there of a run-heavy offense that's now developed without Aaron Rodgers. Now, if Latavius Murray is still available, I think some people might have been questioning a couple weeks ago if he was a big part of this offense. Is Jerick McKinnon the guy? But Murray started to look good here as a power runner. He's the goal line back of choice for the Vikings. The Vikings are much better in the red zone all of a sudden with their passing game setting things up. So that helps Murray, because that was his biggest value as a Raider, and you're seeing that value as a Viking. So if he's still out there in leagues, he's definitely a guy you target. Another guy I'm looking at is Elijah McGuire of the Jets. He actually outsnapped Bilal Powell here in week 10. It was not a very good game for Powell. That's because McGuire ate into it a little bit with no Matt Forte. And Matt Forte looks like he'll be on the shelf for a while. So back to Elijah McGuire from several weeks ago when Forte was out and things were trending towards McGuire. But Powell standing in the way. Now it doesn't look like, with the youth movement and all that post-buy, that Elijah McGuire will have a bigger role. So he won't help you this week again, but a good stash, especially if you've been trying to get the most out of Powell or Forte, you need to have McGuire. Another guy I really like is Samaje Perine. He actually started to look good in that matchup against Minnesota, a tough matchup. Rob Kelly's down. Chris Thompson is hurting in terms of his production. So you've got no Kelly. Thompson, not the same machine. We saw Perine be involved in the passing game a little bit as well. It is a tough matchup against New Orleans in terms of the game flow, but this team can be run on a little bit. So Perine, if he gets his opportunity, especially near the goal line, could have some production. And if you were reaching with Rob Kelly, hoping for the best week after week, you have to look at Perine as someone you can go back to this week and then maybe help you at least as a deep league RB3 type player for some insurance. And it definitely could be a flex play in certain leagues. And that, another guy that you have to look at is Rod Smith of the Cowboys. We saw Alfred Morris get involved a lot, but Rod Smith was more effective overall. He's a better pass catcher. No Darren McFadden in that mix early without Ezekiel Elliott. So everyone that was like thinking McFadden would be the natural transition, I think it might be this continued early down Alfred Morris, a lot of Rod Smith. He's versatile. The game flow could get out of hand against the Eagles, so you could see a lot more of Smith as the hot hand over Morris this week. And Smith should be owned in all leagues now, especially where you're without Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Austin Eckler, I'm not too crazy about because it was a bit fluky the way he scored two touchdowns against the Jaguars with Melvin Gordon out, but he's a good handcuff for Gordon for sure. And he's got some juice in the offense where they like throwing to him, they like using him. I don't know if that fumble there in the late in the Jaguars game changes things too much for this rookie from Western State, a nondescript school, but he's not been nondescript as a player. He's been involved a lot here for the Chargers and Bills. You can use backs in the passing game against them, so Eckler could have some more value, especially if Gordon, if they're feeling a little bit that he's banged up or a little overworked, that you could see a little bit more Eckler in there. Don't forget the Eagles are coming back from bye. J.J. is going to be lead back, but I think Corey Clement will take over as that number two and passing game back. And the Eagles do like to throw their backs. We saw Clement explode against the Broncos before the bye, so don't forget about him. If he's out there, take advantage of that. As a reminder, check out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Network, whether it's NFL or NBA. We've got you covered team by team, your home team, every week, every day. That's what we do on Locked On Network. Now, let's move on to what we have at wide receiver this week. Corey Davis for the Titans should have scored there, had one of those fumbles there at the goal line that turned into a touchback. It was frustrating for people that took a flyer on Davis in that matchup against the Bengals, but I think he'll be a bigger factor going forward. The targets are there, the snaps are there, where they want to get Davis more involved. Rishard Matthews is slowing down a little bit. Eric Decker is just old and not too effective. So Corey Davis has to be a bigger part of the Titans passing game going forward. It's a tough matchup against the Steelers, but I think in later weeks he could be valuable for you as a wide receiver three. Corey Coleman, again, you look at the Browns passing game situation, not quite there yet with Kenny Britt being the guy in Detroit, but Corey Coleman, just the upside, another first round pick that you have to look at, is on the rise. And you look at Josh Doctson, this could be the last call for him. Had a few misconnections and drops there for the Redskins, but he's heavily involved here as a key target. And again, you're going with upside with all three of these guys. They've been disappointed, but they're not guys you necessarily plug in right away, but you play the matchups down the stretch, especially if you're hurting wide receiver 2 and 3 and you need options from week to week. Dede Westbrook is still the Marquise Lee show, and Allen Hurns has played pretty well, but Westbrook is going to have a big role at some point when he's active, so keep that in mind, and he's a guy that you can definitely look at in a deeper league if you're trying to reach on the Jaguars for some value. Dontrell Inman is a guy that you look at for the Bears, immediately stepped in as their number one receiver there after the trade from Los Angeles Chargers. So you saw the immediate trust between him and Mitchell Trubisky. It's the Lions this week. It's a tough matchup again with Darius Slay potentially on the other side. Inman's not built to handle a matchup like that, but there you go. He's a guy you can't ignore as a number one on any team. You look at Marquise Goodwin. I think it's not too fluky that he scored that long touchdown against the Giants. He is a speedster. That's what he does. You're going to have maybe Jimmy Garoppolo coming back next week, and the Seahawks now without Richard Sherman have given up some big plays downfield. So keep that in mind where Goodwin could still have some value, especially with no Pierre Garçon going forward. He is the number one receiver de facto there for the 49ers, and they're going to be throwing a lot, I'm sure, down the stretch. Now, you look at one more guy, I think Kenny Golladay. Everyone was on Marvin Jones last week, but Golladay returned. That hurt definitely the usage of Jones. They didn't have to force it to him in that tough matchup, and Galladay's versatile. He can get downfield. I think he could have some value against the Bears, who are going to focus their attention on Jones and Golden Tate. So Galladay's back from a hamstring injury. You have to look at him, given he exploded in week one. He can still have a big role in this Lions offense going forward. Now we go to quarterbacks, and Eli Manning is a guy that came through last week. If you used him there, it's another good matchup against the Chiefs secondary that's banged up. You know, the game flow is always going to favor Manning. This team's going to give up big leads. There's going to be a lot of garbage time there with Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram and Roger Lewis Jr. Even without Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall, Eli is getting the job done with a good baseline play. Nothing spectacular, but there you go. Jay Cutler actually came through with a couple of TDs on Monday night. Second solid game from Jay Cutler, even in the tough matchup against the Panthers. So Manning and Cutler, extremely hard to trust and like as reality quarterbacks. But, man, in fantasy, they can put up numbers, and Cutler's facing a very weak Buccaneers defense at home. I think he'll fare better than Josh McCown did in a disappointing game at Tampa Bay last week. Case Keenum, I think the way he's playing right now, he has to be looked at as a potential streamer. If you went against the grain and put him in that tough matchup in Washington, he came through big for you last week. The monster game. It's going to be Jared Goff, the guy he started over in Los Angeles last year on the other side. It could be a high-scoring affair. Goff is looking good as a close-to-every-week QB. Keenum has some value as well. And you look at Blake Bortles, you can't really run on the Browns, so the Jaguars are going to have to pass. We mentioned Westbrook could be a factor here. Mercedes Lewis could be a factor in touchdown scoring, and Marquise Lee has been a key target as well as Hearn. So this could be Bortles' best game of the season. The one concern I have is here that the Jaguars can build a big lead and just run Leonard Fournette and not do much with Bortles. But up front of this matchup, if he gets going there, maybe be responsible for that. Throw a couple touchdowns, 250 yards, could be in the mix here for Bortles. So those are your four best kind of streaming options. Those are pretty solid streaming options for a week where there isn't much going on. You have a few key buys, most notably Cam Newton not playing this week. And if you need a replacement for him, you can go to one of these four guys and be pretty adequate for a week. Now, if you're looking more about the future of the NFL, a great resource is our podcast on the NFL Draft, Locked On NFL Draft. Just looking at the future, whether it's Saquon Barkley and running back that is probably going to be in a lineup and picked up or drafted in a league near us very soon, or a quarterback such as Josh Allen of Wyoming, Josh Rosen of UCLA. These guys are going to be fantasy factors before you know it. Make sure you check out that show so you know the future of the NFL, the future of fantasy football. Now we can close our show with the tight ends and defenses. I really like CJ Fedorowicz because you have to look at the Texans and Tom Savage. He needs to get the ball out underneath. He's not a down-the-field passer. Will Fuller has been rendered useless here. DeAndre Hopkins is still the go-to guy, but it's going to be a second option, and I think Fedorowicz definitely emerges as one, as somebody you can look at if you're hurting at tight end. Charles Clay didn't have a great game his first game back. Really no Buffalo player did against the Saints, but it's the Chargers this week. They've given up some good play to tight ends in the past, so Clay is a guy that you can look at as well. It's not just a streamer, but of some use down the stretch here, coming back fully from the knee injury now in his second week back. And you look purely on the matchup, Tyler Kroft didn't do anything against the Titans, but could get back involved against Denver. You know, they really struggle against covering tight ends. It's going to be very hard for AJ Green to get going against Aqib Talib or work anything in the slot there for Andy Dalton. So Kroft is going to get some targets there, and it could be a bit of a bigger spread than you think for the Broncos, leaving some garbage time for Kroft. And I think one more guy on the other side of that Texans Cardinals game that you can look at is Jermaine Gresham. He did score last week. He's getting more involved. It's more of an underneath offense with Drew Stanton. So away goes John Brown and Jerron Brown and J.J. Nelson. They need somebody to complement Larry Fitzgerald and Gresham. Guys, so Savage and Stanton, it could be a bit of an ugly game, but could be a lot of tight end play this week if you're looking for streamers, and they might have some value down the line as well. Finally, with the defenses, you look at some good options this week. The Saints almost have to be an every-week play at this point. If you bench them at Buffalo or drop them because of that matchup, because of the non-turnovers for the Bills, they still came through in a solid game. So the Saints are pretty much an every-week play here, maybe with the exception of playing the Falcons or Panthers down the stretch, but definitely against the Redskins at home are playable. Then you look at the Bengals, a pretty good matchup at Denver. I think they're a good defense where they can make some plays. I also like the Denver side of things. Denver has been dropped in a lot of leagues. They've been bottom tier, but the Bengals and Broncos are both matchup dependent at this point. This matchup is good for both sides. Same thing goes for the Texans and Cardinals in that game. Either side of that has some potential. The Texans maybe more so at home, but the Cardinals are the better defense and facing the worst quarterback there in Tom Savage. So you look at those two matchups, Bengals, Broncos, Cardinals, Texans, definitely some value on both side of things. So there you have it. There's another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football in the books. Thanks so much for listening. We will break down all the games as we flip to Matchup Wednesday for Week 11 tomorrow. That's how we kind of break down the waiver wire. It's not the greatest pool of players available for you to help this week, not as good as last week, but you always have to keep pounding that rock and looking for guys to help your team. And that's what we do as we take you from Monday through Thursday on Locked On Fantasy Football. We love our new platform here with Panoply and Megaphone. So please subscribe through that or on iTunes, and we'll be happy that you listen, and you should be very happy that we're giving you great information week after week. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.